You know, I think if you take a step back for a minute, you'd have to say this is the worst and most perilous day of Donald Trump's young presidency.
I'll call this the Elsa rule as a parent of a child. Let it go. That the White House just wouldn't let it go.
It just, again, puts the credibility of everything that we hear from the White House into question.
Lies that President Trump is putting out there in terms of President Obama bugging and wiretapping Trump Tower. There's no evidence of that. He will be in a position where he will meet the standards and the criteria for high crimes and misdemeanors, and I maintain that's where impeachment comes in.
Oh my gosh, yes, Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC, and we are back on a very, very busy news day. All right, so to start, let me explain to you exactly what went down today with these explosive new allegations about the Trump wiretaps. There is a congressman at the center of the storm, and his name is Devin Nunes. He's from California, and he is the chair of the House Intelligence Committee. Now, apparently, at some point prior to this morning, someone in the intelligence community came to Congressman Nunes and says, "Looky here, I've got some reports I need you to see." And by the way, this is 100% kosher, right? Because this is the one organ of government, right? This is the House Intelligence Committee, the legislative branch that is reviewing the actions of the executive branch. And these are exactly the people that are overseeing and ensuring that the members of the intelligence community are doing everything right. So this guy comes to him. We don't know who it is, but somebody comes to him, drops off a bunch of reports. And these reports shock Congressman Nunes. Why? Simple. These reports date back to the Trump transition period. This is back post-election. To when Trump was putting together his team. And if you remember, back inside Trump Tower is where they had the headquarters and they had everybody located and everybody was working hard on putting together a new government. Now, as this was all going on, somehow, for some reason, not explained in this report, someone, one of the branches of the intel government, and by the way, there are 16 agencies. So one of these agencies obtained a FISA warrant to tap certain unnamed foreign officials. Could be anybody. It's probably, the way I read this, it's probably the Russian ambassador, somebody like that. And by the way, that's totally normal. We do spy. I am sure we spy on all ambassadors pretty much who are in this country, especially from big countries that we have some adverse dealings with, like Russia. Guaranteed, this is a common occurrence. Now, you'll recall when there's a FISA warrant issued, it can only be issued against foreign transmissions and foreign persons. And as soon as one of those transmissions, one of these intercepts, surveillances, picks up a conversation or any kind of informational exchange with a U.S. person or a U.S. company or a U.S. entity, certain things have to be done by law. And the common word for it is masking. Okay, the data, whatever reference it is. So, for example, if you have an aunt that lives in Brussels and your aunt in Brussels is talking to you, the government has to very little proof, standard of proof for the government to get that FISA warrant and intercept a phone call coming from Brussels. But anything that you say has to be what we'll call it redacted. Has to be blacked out. You've seen those kind of, the redacted reports when there's sensitive information. Big black lines go through it, and any references have to be removed from any other reports. So if somebody's listening, let's say, to a phone call, there has to be, you can't say, well, I was listening to so-and-so in Brussels, and then who was talking to so-and-so in Los Angeles. Can't do that. You have to call that person Person X or put some sort of a filler in there. All right. So what happened here? All right. Is plain and simple. That didn't happen. Somewhere along the line, multiple conversations were picked up between people in the Trump transition team, possibly even the president-elect himself, and supposedly some foreign actors, although Nunez has been very clear today that this did not in any way involve any investigation on Russia, nor did it appear to have any general investigative value. And instead of taking those intercepts, whatever they were, and he does say they were legally obtained, and masking out the names of Trump and his associates, they were left in. And that is a crime. And so when you're, so this is, I just want to frame it first because I want you to understand what the actual allegation is before we delve a little bit deeper into it. There were intercepts. The intercepts did not relate to the Russia investigation. The intercepts appeared to perhaps have no in real investigative value. And the names of Trump and other people picked up possibly on these intercepts, but definitely U.S. persons who are based in the U.S. and are absolutely cannot be surveilled under a FISA warrant were not only intercepted, they weren't masked, and no efforts at minimizing their information was put forward. Far from it. The most damaging allegation today that has come out, and this really, by the way, and we'll get to it and explain why this is so terrible, but the most damaging accusation is that these now they wrote up these reports, right? The people that are listening into these phone calls or reading emails or text messages or whatever it is are writing reports about it. And they're not covering up the names. They're not masking anyone. And now they're spreading these reports around. They are putting them out there left, right, up, down, and they're sending them around to a bunch of different agencies in the intelligence community, right? Because there's 16 in total, as I mentioned. And by the way, this now, you have to always remember, it's a connect the dot scenario, because you'll remember I told you a couple weeks ago that in the last weeks of the Obama presidency, Obama issued a very curious executive order. In this executive order, he ordered that intelligence agencies that had up until that point been prohibited from sharing, information gathered through investigations with one another, were now able to freely do so. And my opinion on it from the very beginning was to cut when I started to see all the leaks come out during the transition period and things about Trump and things about Flynn and the phone calls with world leaders and that kind of thing. When I started seeing all those leaks come out, we immediately put our thinking caps on here, didn't we, Robbie? We're looking at this and we're saying, well, look, it used to be pretty easy to track a leak because if the information was siloed within one intelligence agency, it could be tracked down to a department. And if it's tracked down to a department, it can be tracked down to a team. If it's tracked to a team, it can be tracked to a person. And so this tells me, again, why this executive order in the closing stages of the Obama presidency? Why? And the only logical conclusion that I come to in this is that this was a deliberate act on the part of the president, Obama, and his team in a last-ditch effort. I mean, they already lost, 8 years of work, at least in their minds, down the drain. They lost to someone who they loathe. If you doubt me on this, this is plain as day. Not just did their anointed candidate Hillary Clinton lose, but she lost to Donald Trump. And so, immediately, The same people that 4 years earlier are telling Mitt Romney to hey, yo, the 1980s called and they want their foreign policy back. And by the way, we're best friends with Russia, and let's sell them some uranium, and let's, you know, let's make a deal, and let's be friends, and let's, hey, here's a plastic reset button. They begin to deliberately and not so artfully craft a narrative whereby Donald Trump is a paid-for bought puppet of the Soviet Union. It's almost this absurd, of the Russian Federation. And in order to back it up, Obama sends a directive again through his team, but not. I'm telling you, it's gonna come back to the highest levels of government. Where, look, we've got to delegitimize this incoming president. Because a delegitimized Trump is a weakened Trump politically, is a Trump that is bleeding, is wounded. Can a wounded Trump unwind Obamacare? Can a wounded Trump really tackle the deep state left behind by 8 years of Obama, by 8 years of Bush, by 8 years of Clinton? The answer is obviously not. And trust me, if there are people, David Axelrod, Obama, these are people that understand how to subvert and use the power, the last remnants of power that they had was to launch these investigations, propagate this ridiculous narrative about Russia that, by the way, is coming apart at the seams as we speak. And now this kind of stink, I mean, it is really coming undone. So here is exactly what Devin Nunes, congressman from California, said earlier today about what happened and what he was privy to. I want you to hear it right from him.
I recently confirmed that on numerous occasions, the intelligence community incidentally collected information about U.S. citizens involved in the Trump transition. Details about U.S. persons associated with the incoming administration, details with little or no apparent foreign intelligence value, were widely disseminated in intelligence community reporting. Third, I have confirmed that additional names of Trump transition team members were unmasked. And fourth and finally, I want to be clear, none of this surveillance was related to Russia or the investigation of Russian activities or of the Trump team.
Pretty damn specific, isn't it? By the way, in this whole crazy story where you hear these people, you know, Comey testifying on Capitol Hill and everybody hedging their words, this is a very clear, unequivocal statement. It leaves very little to the imagination or very little to squirrel out of. When a politician is speaking unequivocally, there's something going on. And the crucial thing, his last point, this had nothing to do with the investigation into Russia and nothing into the investigation, and hear this, of the Trump team. And the point before that he made, even more damning, which is this had little to no foreign intelligence value. Now, I take you back to the standard of proof required to get a FISA warrant. It's low to non-existent. Gone over it ad nauseum. But basically, you just show up to a court. You got a couple of appointed puppet judges. You go in and you say, hey, I think I got this foreign person and I think it's whatever. And they rubber stamp it. We looked at it. There's something like 14 denials out of tens of thousands of requests. It's a 99.999% chance sure thing. But it has to relate to foreign intelligence. So what the Obama people did was absolutely shameful, unethical, wrong, terrible, and it's going to come back to haunt them for years to come. Because what they did was is they came up with some flim-flam, sorry excuse for what they're calling a foreign intelligence investigation. And in the process of it, we're basically surveilling the Trump transition team, convinced in their own delusional minds that Trump was the scum of the earth. He was the worst person. And if they just listened to it long enough, if they just listened to it long enough, they would catch him with his pants down, so to speak. And it didn't happen. Because, folks, if it had happened, it would be all over the front page. But right now, neener, Obama's got his you-know-what stuck in the little, you know, gate here. Because he literally, I'm telling you, the fingerprints of this go right back to the top. To quote a quote on Harry Truman's desk? The buck stops here. And boy, is it going to be fun tracing that dollar all the way back to Obama. I'm going to tell you right when we come back what Peter King said. You think I'm crazy? You think I'm exaggerating? Listen to what Peter King said right after the break. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
All right, Sam Rogowski here, back again talking about the bombshell revelations here that Trump, in fact, was perhaps surveilled by the Obama administration. And I want to make one point today about Congressman Devin Nunes, who, of course, is the gentleman, the chair of the House Intelligence Committee, and the gentleman who has released this information and unspooled this news today. You know, while all the Democrats and various Obama apologists, Trump haters and the like are trashing Mr. Nunes today, I'd like to point out that it wasn't, it's 48 hours ago that they were all singing his praises because he was throwing cold water at Trump and his tweeting allegations. You know, he was one of the guys that everybody was citing, saying even Republicans on the House Intelligence Committee are pushing back at Trump's tweets and allegations and da-da-da-da-da. So it's funny how the tables turn. So a little earlier today, this evening actually, around 5 on O'Reilly Factor on Fox News, Congressman Peter King was on. Now, he is also on the committee. He is a fellow member of the same committee chaired by Devin Nunes. And he's been privy to reviewing the report that is now being talked about. And he said this to Bill O'Reilly earlier tonight.
What I've said from the start is the president overplayed his hand, or he overstepped the information available. But I have felt all along there were investigations going on. These could have been legitimate investigations, legitimate surveillance. But the information taken from that was used illegally and improperly and disseminated by people in the intelligence community by being leaked out to the media and maybe given to other people as well. And so the president had a very legitimate case to make. He overstepped it by saying that President Obama ordered wiretapping. That we don't know. But we do know that, to me, this is shameful to have this type of information. And again, it almost like the way Devin described it to me, it's like a private eyes report. Donald Trump is going to meet this person on this day. This person is doing that. This one is moving here. This one's doing that. And it was like, first of all, who gave the order to unmask that, to make that known? Who gave the order to distribute it out? It goes against violations. This isn't like one report. We're talking about many, many, many.
Yes, it's dirty. It reads like a private investigator's report. You know, the kind of person you hire to spy on your ex. And I think the logical question that everybody is asking, well, you know, look, if you're a Trump hater, I got to tell you, you got to start wondering if the dude's got a third eye. I mean, you do. You've got to legitimately ask yourself this, because we've been around this block so many times. I mean, how many times do you want to get whacked by Trump? It's a legitimate question. I mean, I heard from all of you. I remember when Trump tweeted out the picture of the cargo plane the Dassault jet that was on the tarmac somewhere in Switzerland with a pallet of cash being loaded into it. And he said, this is the blood money we're sending to Iran or whatever it was, you know. And he just got pushback from every talking head, every liberal loser, every, you know, so-called knowledgeable member of the intelligence community, every savant, everybody piled on. And then quietly 3 weeks later, it was like, oh, yeah, yeah, that actually is a picture of what happened. Never mind. It's happening over and over again. And so the question then, you know, so how did Trump know this? And so you wouldn't know what I think. My theory is this. You know, if you're a reasonably intelligent person, and that's the first thing Trump actually is, you can hate him, but he's a smart guy. There's certain times that you do certain things and there's 10 people around and you know you can't keep a secret there. But there were instances where Trump told something to one person or had a phone call with just one person and no one else in the room, and things about that leaked out, and he just knew that he had been tapped. He knew because things that no one else was privy to was being talked about in the media. Doesn't take a genius to do it, folks. It's not nothing crazy. All right, we got John Wolf up in the news, up with the news next. Maybe he's being tapped too. I don't know. Crazy. But anyway, Sam Rojofsky here, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
All right, Sam Rojofsky here, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Now, I wonder what the Democrats are saying to all of this. And I'll tell you, you can go no further than CNN and their standard bearer, Wolf Blitzer reports. And this, as the news is breaking, that Trump communications between Trump and his people on the transition team and certain foreign people, not affiliated with Russia or anything like that. All right. This is coming out. And this is what Wolf Blitzer had to say. Now, listen to this. This is good stuff. Let's play clip 15, Robbie.
Committee Chairman Devin Nunes says intelligence reports given to him show President Trump's personal communications may have been incidentally picked up by U.S. intelligence agencies. His decision to immediately go over to the White House to brief the president before sharing that information with his own committee, including the ranking Democrat, has angered a lot of Democrats. The ranking member, Adam Schiff, says he was blindsided by the information. He now has grave concerns, he says, about the committee's investigation. Now let's dig deeper with our experts and our analysts.
Okay, let's dig deeper. So I'll tell you how deep Wolf Blitzer is digging. It's all about the Democrats getting blindsided by this. These are the same Democrats, by the way, who've been grandstanding on this issue for months now. There's not a fire. There's not a candle lit anywhere. There's not even a little bit of smoke. They've just been grandstanding on this issue and nothing there. And this is there's no analysis from Blitzer on, hey, maybe this information was mishandled. Maybe the names that should have been masked weren't. So maybe you'd agree with him. In fact, who do we got? Steve, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
All right. All right. So what do you make of this? You think I'm wrong. Tell me how.
Oh, I think you're wrong. I don't know. You know, a lot of you conservatives, I think I need to revive your memory, because I don't know if you remember Donald Trump singing high praises to the Russian leader Putin. And I want to remind you that Putin, he has more than once expressed deep admiration for Joseph Stalin. So I don't see how Trump would have any admiration for anybody who has admiration for Joseph Stalin. Additionally, when you start to praise the Russian government or Russian leader, I mean, the Russian system of government is diametrically opposed to our system of government. Totally. So, of course, you're going to get the intelligence community. You're going to spark some interest from them. Of course you are. I mean,
well, here's
Donald
the
Trump,
thing. Here's where your argument totally loses. Let me respond to this. Here's where you totally are off base and in wackadoodle land. If we really want to talk apples to apples and people praising and having connections and talking to Putin, it was Hillary Clinton that sold, as Secretary of State, 20% of our uranium reserves to Russia, went to Putin, kissed his A-money money up, down, left, right, and then collected, I don't know, how many billions for Clinton Foundation? I don't know. I mean, I don't know where I see this is the argument, and I'm sorry, Steve. I've got to run here in a second, but this is the argument that is such a losing argument from the get-go. None of this outrage was anywhere to be found when it was the Obama administration dealing with the Russians. None, zero, zilch. It's a totally made-up fantasy land controversy. When Hillary did it, and the quid pro quo, I mean, Steve, are you for reals? The quid pro quo was so blatant. And the only reason it did not get investigated is because under Obama and under Clinton, life was so good because the media was willfully blind to everything. And you had an attorney general who basically just slept on the job, slumped over. What a, you guys are so lame. I love it. But that was good. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.
I'm going to try to understand this logic. See, so if Trump needs to be surveilled by the FBI because he praises Putin, and Putin's a bad dude because he praises Stalin, the question I have, should I be surveilled by the FBI because I'm praising Trump, and Trump is praising Putin, and Putin is praising Stalin? Whew. I got to get on top of this left-wing logic. Got to get my thinking cap on, which is pink, by the way, and doubles as a meow meow hat. All right, Sam Rogowski here, Sam Nation Talk Radio 790 KBC. We're in the thick of this, folks, and this whole little knitted meow meow hat is unraveling faster than you can say, you know, Mary Poppins. And the real question is, so if this is a crime, what happens next? Because I think that's really what this is. It's a couple of issues. Because I'm always looking at it. I'm trying to figure out from a legal perspective, you know, what's going on. I'm putting my lawyer hat on here, and I'm looking at it logically. The first things first, you've got to always go back. You always go back to the source. It's kind of like a plant. You want to go all the way down to the original root or to the seed. And the original root or the seed of this problem, this whole thing begins with the warrant itself. If it was a FISA warrant or not, it appears that it's a FISA warrant. It also appears that the warrant itself was not defective. In other words, it was legitimately obtained, it was legally obtained, and there's nothing wrong with it. But, information may come out later where that turns out not to be the case. But assuming for a minute that the warrant is fine, then it's all in how the information was handled. And there's two things at issue. One, that the information collected about U.S. persons, read Trump and his team, was not masked. It was not anonymized. It was not redacted. Crime one. Crime two, perhaps even bigger, is that this information was widely disseminated, was leaked all over the place to the sycophantic left-wing media, which distributed it and sent it off to the four corners of the earth. That's a crime, a big crime, a major felony. And even one FBI director, Comey, who, by the way, God, what a dope. I mean, he is, he, Somebody described him as being way too politically savvy for an FBI director. He is 100% making this thing political. But even he has said unequivocally that these leaks are illegal and must be tracked down and found out. But my only point on this front is they've got to find out who did it. And it's tough to do because of that Obama executive action in the last weeks of his presidency where he opened up information sharing among all 16 agencies. So you found out one thing at one agency and it got sent to the seven, you know, all different agencies up, down. And this creates a problem of tracing the original leak. By the way, that's what we do as lawyers. Yeah, I was going to say this. In fact, when I'm looking at all this and I'm thinking of Sweet James right now because the biggest, you know, when you get into a car accident, you know that almost right away, especially if it's a big case, especially if the insurance company on the other side thinks that they're up against somebody, they're going to have to pay some real money. Do you know the first thing that they start to do is they start to spy on you? No, wait, I'm not joking. And if you call Sweet James, they'll tell you about this. A couple of things. One, clients are routinely surveilled. All right, this is a common thing. You know, a little shady like van shows up, and they want to see if you're really hurt. They want to get video of you doing stuff to prove that you aren't really injured. How scary is that? And then what else? Oh, they're all over your social media. That's a big thing, by the way. Let me give you this is a bit of very good advice, and this is brought to you by Sweet James, your personal injury attorney. But let me tell you why. They'll immediately go to your social media, and they are going to start pulling down videos, pulling down pictures, anything of you before the accident or after the accident that can embarrass you. Here's what you want to do after an accident. Get to a safe spot, call the police, whatever needs to happen, and then call your lawyer. Sweet James Bergner, the only person we trust here on the program to make sure that you don't get screwed. It's important. Make sure your rights are protected. So Sweet James, 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or go to his website. It's easy, sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Rogowski will be back right after this.
KABC.
And here's the logical conclusion, by the way, where this all is going with these leaks and everything. It's exactly what I've been saying. The Russiagate story is going to backfire and blow up in the Democrats' faces. Sam Rogowski here, Sam Nation. This is, by the way, a quote from the former CIA director whose name is Michael Morell. Now, Morell happened to also be a Clinton campaign surrogate, which means he went out and did campaign appearances for one Hillary Rodham Clinton in her failed, unsuccessful, go down in flames attempt at becoming the first female president. And this is what ex-CIA director Morell said on the question of the Trump campaign. The issue of Trump conspiring with the Russians here, there is smoke, but there is no fire at all. There's no little campfire. There's no little candle. There's no spark. And there's a lot of people looking for it. The smart Democrats, listen to me. The smart Democrats are starting to back the heck off of this because there's no there. When Ted Cruz called it, what did he call it? A nothing burger? It's a nothing burger. I need to eat one of those because, I've been kind of filling in my pants lately. I wonder if how low on calories a nothing burger is. But there's no hard evidence that ties, that links anything up. This news, by the way, today, Paul Manafort found, some people are reporting that $10 million a year he was being paid by some Russian billionaire to advance Russia's interests if and when Trump became president. Whoo! That's so exciting. Oh, is that the guy? Sorry, is that the guy that Trump fired? I'm just curious. Do you get how absurd this is? And I'm just going to remind y'all that it was Hillary Clinton that gave everything, that just gave up the ghost to Russia. Just lock, stock, and barrel, and then collected billions. Forget millions. Billions. And dollars back. And nobody batted an eye. So here's the deal. My advice is, I mean, the Democratic Party's going down in flames here, and it's the best they can do is to keep bringing this stuff up. But it's just such a joke, and we're going to have a field day with this. So mark my words, we're off tomorrow night, but back on Friday, and we will pick up the pieces of where this is all going and where this has all been, and I'm excited to do that. Then I will keep you in the loop, and as always, decipher all this crazy nonsense and gobbledygook that's going on back and forth. Because trust me, there's a lot of it out there. And that's why you listen to me, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Can't stop addicted to the shindig. Chop top, it says I'm gonna win big. Choose not to life of imitation. Distant us into the reservation.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.